Welcome to the Savvy Scribe podcast. I am so glad you're here. Before we start the show, if you're interested, we have a free Facebook group called Savvy Nurse Writer Community. I appreciate you following and listening to me today, and I would love if you would subscribe via iTunes. And if you love our show, can I ask you for a review? Select ratings and reviews and write a review. It's that simple. I would love to read your review, and it helps other nurses like you find our podcast. Thanks so much.
Oh, and welcome to another episode. Today we're with Paul Wilson, who is the go-to mindset coach for ambitious business owners. And we're talking about how cold DMing on LinkedIn can work, but it can also kill your reputation. He's going to talk all about that today. If you like what you're hearing, head on over to savvynursewriter.com and click on past recordings, and you could see the whole hour and a half workshop that Paul and I did exclusively to our members. So if you like these little workshops that we're doing on the podcast, that we're doing on Facebook Live inside our group, the Savvy Nurse Right community, come on over and hang out with us even longer in these workshops and really get some action-packed content for you to use for starting your own profitable health writing business. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Savvy Scribe podcast.
A podcast for healthcare professionals who are interested in starting their own health writing businesses.
I'm Janine, a registered nurse and your host. I'm a labor and delivery nurse, mom to these two incredible boys, wife to my best friend, and owner of two crazy Great Danes. I help nurses discover freelance writing as an extra income opportunity with help from my guests. Join us over on Facebook in the group Savvy Nurse Writer Community or SavvyNurseWriter.com to join our course and membership to create your own profitable writing business.
Enjoy the show.
Ah, yeah, well, it's better than a boring, plain background.
Yeah, I like it. I like it.
How come you got her not to say anything? It says here, this, whenever I do a podcast in the past few weeks, Zoom has this message come up saying, we're now recording, but there's a voice of, this Zoom is now being recorded. And
oh,
when you press stop, it goes, this Zoom has now been stopped recorded.
How fancy. How fancy that Zoom has really taken it up a notch.
Yeah. No, they're taking it down a notch. I mean, I'm a grown up. I can see.
I can tell you. Yeah, I can read. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Well, here we are live on Facebook. Hello, everybody. Welcome.
Hello,
welcome,
Facebook.
Welcome. I have Paul Wilson with me today. How are you, Paul?
I am extremely well. I'm splendiferous. Thank you very much. How are you?
I am well. And you know what? I think it's so cool, just throwing it out there, how we can meet 9 a.m. my time. What is it? 1 p.m. your time?
2 p.m.
2 p.m. your time. And we are across the world from each other. And it's so cool. Because tell everybody where you're from. Obviously, your accent kind of gives it away.
No, I'm from, where am I from? Let's have a guess. I'm in the UK, obviously. Yeah, I'm in a town called Folkestone, which is about 70 miles southeast of London, right on the coast.
Very nice.
We have this high-speed train now, which means I can get to central London in under an hour, which is fabulous. I love
Holy
London.
Holy cow. That is awesome. Wow. I want something like that here.
Oh, it's great. It's brilliant because it means you can live by the seaside and little kind of provincial town, and yet within an hour, you could be right in the center of one of the biggest metropolises in the world.
Yes.
Metropolises, can't say that word.
It's a goal of mine one day to get over there. I want to. It sounds so beautiful. And
Well, it's like every big city. It has its downsides and its black spots, as it were, but it's a great place to be. There's a great vibe in London. It really, really is.
So cool. So cool. So today, you guys, Paul is here to tell us all the things about just kind of getting out of your own way, getting out of your own head, something like that. But I did want to touch today a little bit on how cold DMing people on LinkedIn. So my audience, for a little background here, Paul, is nurses, right, who want to become freelance writers. And it's a very easy thing to do on LinkedIn is to just go out there and cold DM people.
Oh, don't. Please. Please.
I mean, just think of it as like how you want to be treated, right?
Don't do it. Whatever you do, don't do it.
Don't do it. Don't do it. So let's start here. Tell us a little bit about you, what your background is, and what you do for a living.
Okay. Once upon a time, a long, long, long time ago. No, we won't tell you that story. I spent 25 years at the Channel Tunnel, which for those of you in Ohio who never heard of it, it's an undersea connection between the UK and the continent of Europe, yeah? It runs under the English Channel about 90 feet below the seabed. It's three tunnels, two rail and one service tunnel, yeah? And it provides a daily service between London, Paris and Brussels, but also you can get on a train in your car, drive across to France or drive from France to the UK, get off and hit the motorway or the highway, or if you're a truck driver, straight through on your truck and out the other side. I was there for 25 years, really enjoyed it. And then back in 2017, you've just had your Independence Day in the state. Well, coming soon in what, about 4 weeks?
Coming soon, July 4th, yep.
July 4th, Independence Day. My Independence Day was the 23rd of October, 2017. I got knocked off my bicycle on the way to work and I broke a bone either side of my right elbow, and being right-handed meant I couldn't do anything. So anyway, long story short, signed off for work, couldn't do anything. And my thoughts were, do I stay or do I go? Is it time for me to leave after 25 years? I couldn't make my mind up, went back to work. You know, you're trying to wade through all the mail, get into my office, get the door open, get the computer going. And the HR director walks past my front office and goes, hey, Paul, how's the arm? Now, to this day, I don't know where this comes from, but I went, Nick, I'm great, thanks. Have you got a minute? He said, yeah, come around to my office. Literally within 4 weeks of that conversation, I was out of the company on the exact date of my 25th anniversary. And 2018 was a blast. I did a whole range of new things, including a 12-week stand-up comedy course in London with a place called the Rats, Water Rats, which is where Oasis, if you remember that band. They had their first London gig in Water Rats, just up the road from King's Cross Station. And that was brilliant. I fell back in love with hypnosis, became a hypnotherapist. Then that led on to me becoming a coach, which is what I do now. So I tend to work with high-level consultants, people kind of in the sort of six-figure range who have got a really, really good life, but they're kind of stuck because they just doing it for doing its sake anymore. They don't have a purpose. They don't have a legacy. And a lot of times they don't know they don't have a legacy because things are too comfortable. They try and set goals and they set them, but they don't last more than a couple of weeks because, you know, what's the use? What's the purpose? Why have I set the goals? And I kind of work with those people. I still do hypnosis. I still help people with phobias and fears and all that kind of good stuff and lack of confidence and what have you. That's one for another day. Why you don't need confidence. Put that in your diary. That's what I do. That's me in a kind of a very large nutshell.
Love it. Love it. And, you know, we talked about a couple when you filled out my form, there's a couple topics we were going to go with, and I really liked the one about cold DMing on LinkedIn. But I'm like sitting here looking at our notes, and I'm like, how I use organic marketing to promote my business. So I'm thinking, let's talk a little bit about this cold DM junk. And then for our members, I do want to talk about that organic marketing, how you do it, what you do, because I really liked that you were talking about how in 2018, it was just an incredible year and you did all these fun things. And I'm thinking, wait, you left a 25-year job and you're just like, poof, let's do something new. And it's great. But I know it could not have been great the entire time where you're like, you had to be scared. You had to be like, oh my gosh, how am I going to do this? But I'm going with it because it's what I love. Am I right? Am I on the right path?
Yeah, kind of. I was actually going to become a photographer because photography is my passion. I adore photography. I love having a camera in my hand, taking pictures. But when I quit the job, I spoke to a few professional photographers who've been in the industry 25, 30, even longer years. Yeah. And they said, Paul, look, unless you want to turn your hobby, your passion into a drudge, don't do it. You can still make money as a photographer, but it's going to be a long, 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 hard slog. We're probably talking 7 to 10 years. The problem being is that everybody that has one of these things now calls themselves photographer, which means that the floor has dropped out of the photography market and people will work for free. They will, and this is not an irony, this is true. People will work for exposure. You know, come and take pictures for me and let me put them on my Insta page and that'll make you famous. Well, I'm sorry, but exposure won't pay my bills, you know?
Exactly. So vanity, metrics, you know?
Yeah, no, don't. So I had a long, hard think. I thought, you know what? I don't want to destroy my passion and turn it into a drudge. So I'll leave the photography to one side and I'll do something else. And I didn't know what I was going to do, to be perfectly frank with you. So I just did lots and lots of different things. I took on a personal trainer, lost a lot of fat, put on some extra muscle, and him and his wife actually were also hypnotherapists. And they said, Paul, we've got this weekend coming up. As you're a client, come along. It'll be a giggle. So I went along to this, this seminar kind of workshop thing, and they put us into groups. And I was working with this lady who had, and this will make you laugh, because in the States, you have snakes that can kill you. You have snakes that can do you a lot of damage. But in the UK, we have one snake that can hurt you a little bit, but it is so rare, you've got more chance of winning the lottery and being struck by lightning on the same day as seeing one of these things, yeah? But anyway, so a lot of people have this bizarre phobia for snakes and things that wriggle. So I worked with this lady, and we had a really good day, and she said, Paul, I'm sorted. I'm now cured. I've no phobia for snakes. And I went, well, yeah, cool, okay. But the very next day, which was a Sunday, this lady that I've been working with, her and her family always go out for a walk in the local woods with, you know, as a family kind of thing to do on a Sunday. Hubby, you know, husband is out there videoing everything and, you know, doing what men kind of do for some bizarre reason. Got no why. Anyway, so they're walking along and he goes, darling, you better stop because look, there's a great big worm in the path. You have to go around it. And it was about, I don't know, this long, completely harmless, completely, you know, you could stamp on the thing, you know. But she goes, no. And she very carefully gets her hands and knees. She scoops this thing up and carries it across the grass and onto the grass. Husband nearly drops his phone. He launches a stream of expletives because he can't believe what he's just seen. And I'm thinking, I've got a superpower.
Yes.
So I went back to my personal trainer and said, who trained you? Went to see him, got trained by him, said, who trained you? I went as far up the chain as I could possibly get, read every single book, bought every single course and thing that I could do. And I just fell in love with hypnosis again because I'd always had an interest in the mind and mesmerism. You remember that TV show, The Mentalist?
Yeah.
I used to love that show and all that kind of stuff. And so I thought, that's what I'm going to do. And that's what I did. I started seeing clients, started helping people with phobias and fears and drinking too much and losing weight and all that kind of stuff. But I realized that all I was doing was actually treating the symptom and not the root cause, which is why I then morphed into becoming a coach. Because as a coach, I can work on the whole person rather than just one little tiny aspect of them.
Very interesting. And I love that the way you approached becoming a hypnotherapist is learning. You went right to the source. You're not going to like sit there and Google how to become a hypnotherapist and then read some blogs and do this and do that. Was that maybe part of your strategy? Maybe a little bit. You had to learn everything, right? But I love that you went to your friend who got trained already from somebody higher than him, and you just followed that path. Like, wait, I want this path. I'm not going to go the long way around and try and find the way to do this myself. You went right to the source. And then what was like even more inspiring to hear is then you're like, and I got every book and everything I could possibly do to be the best at what I wanted to do. And that's the key right there, is really to not make it harder than it needs to be. If somebody's already done it, just follow their footsteps. There's enough of a market, obviously, for you to do your own thing.
Oh, two things there. First of all, Google is a great place and the internet is a fabulous place, but there's so much misinformation, there's so much bad information that you have to kind of wade through all kinds of crap to find the good stuff. Now, the thing about competition, I do not believe there is competition. So you've got all these nurses who want to become writers. Is that right?
Yes.
Now, a lot of those people are going to think, oh, my God, there's like 100 of us or 200 of us, a million of us in this group. Yeah. We're all going to be competing against each other. No, you're not. I'm sure you've used this phrase, Janine, know, like, and trust. Yeah.
Yes.
So there are 7.5 billion people in this world, probably less than half of 1% know me. Even fewer of those people are like me. Yeah. But it doesn't matter, because if there's 10 coaches in a row. Yeah. And we've got one potential client. You're a client. You're going to talk to all 10 of us and you're going to get to know us. You're going to go, you know what? That Paul is a bit of an idiot. I can't talk to him. And he's a guy that, oh, look, here's Janine. She's gorgeous. She talks my language. You know, she dresses the same way as I do. And she's really cool. And then there's all these other people. No, you know what? I'm going to go with Janine. That's what we do. Now, whether that is politically correct or not, it doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. We go with people who are as like us as possible, yeah? Mm-hmm. Or they have things that we like about them. We want to know about that person's life. This is where organic comes in a minute as well. And we want to get to trust them. Can I trust that person with the secrets I want to share? Or can I trust that person to help me to get to where I want to be? So in my view, there's no such thing as competition. Because you say you've got 10 of us all lined up, and all 10 of us will find clients if we do what we need to do to let people find us. Yeah.
Yes.
Now, if you're all chasing the same person, then yeah, that is a bit of a challenge, but that's the wrong view.
Yeah.
That's completely the wrong way of doing things. Don't all chase the same people. There's 7.5 billion in the world. There's plenty of customers to go around. There's plenty of clients that need your services out there.
We'll be right back.
You guys, I wrote a book and it's launched and I want you to check it out. Go over to Amazon, look for Savvy Nurse Writer. It'll come up right away, but it's called Savvy Nurse Writer, A Nurse's Blueprint for Starting a Profitable Freelance Health Writing Business. We have lots of reviews, all 5 stars, top new release in the first week it was launched, and I want to share it with the world. So head on over to Amazon.com, search Savvy Nurse Writer, and get your copy today. Well, I think it's we're in such a day and age that we can at least get our message out to some more than we used to be able to with the 7.7 billion people in the world. Like the chances that you and I even met over, 20 years ago, that would have never happened. Like the way social media has come, the way the internet itself has just really blossomed in the last few years, everything's changing all the time, that even if you go into something right now, you have to stay up to date on things because it's going to constantly change. And that's just the digital world. It's kind of fun. It's kind of intriguing. It's kind of intimidating, but it's something like the freelance writer from the 90s is, if they do the same strategies that they've been doing since the 90s, they're not going to flourish this day and age. They're just
it depends. It depends. Because say, for example, they just advertised in newspapers. Yeah.
Yes.
Nobody's doing that. So if they're correct, the only ones advertising newspapers, then they've still got a really good market. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if what they were doing still works for them, then yes, they are going to be, prominent. The challenge is that if they try and bring their thing from the 1990s into this era and try and force feed that onto the internet, that's where you could get the disconnect.
Absolutely.
And that's where work. But if they've got a thing that works for them and nobody else is doing it, then it's still going to work for them because nobody else, because everybody thinks online is the only place to be. We have to be online. No, online,
not necessarily.
Online is just convenient and it gives you access to more people around the world. That's the only thing. I mean, if you sell shoes, say that 3 times really, really quickly, you're probably still best to have a physical bricks and mortar store, because if I were to buy a pair of shoes, I want to go in and sit down and try them on. I hate having to send things back. So I'm not going to buy a pair of shoes from Amazon, for example, because they might not fit. Then I've got to put them back in a box. I've got to wrap the box. I've got to go to the post office. I've got to get in the queue. I've got to have money and I've got to pay. And I've got to put a stamp on. And
so let's talk a little bit about the DMing on LinkedIn.
Don't do it. Let's talk. Let's just say
Don't do it. Why did this idea come to you to talk to my audience about it?
Okay, well, look, first of all, cold DMing, let's just explain what that means.
Yes.
Sending out unsolicited messages to all and sundry. It does work if you've got a piece of software and you can send out millions and millions and millions and millions of messages, because the sheer maths of it, 1% or 0.5% of people will respond. But the problem is the rest of the people that don't respond, I'm just going to hate you. They're going to create, they're going to go to their local voodoo shop. They're going to buy a little effigy of you. They're going to paint your picture on there. And they're going to stab you full of little pins day and night for weeks and weeks and weeks. Because the problem we get with cold DMing is people are so unoriginal. People are so boring. Hi, Paul, I see you're a coach. Would you like some new clients? I have this unique process of collecting and sending you new clients. And just, I'm the only one that knows this secret.
Yep.
And they send that 100,000 times out to everybody else. Yeah, and it's the same message day in and day out and all the rest.
But they'll get one gullible person who's like,
yeah, they will. They will.
Starving
they will.
For work, and they might get a client from it. But now, Paul's feeling. How are you feeling about it?
Another one that really gets me, this really pisses me off, is go, hi, Paul, what do you do? Now, hang on, we're on a social media platform. I have a profile.
With a tagline.
Do you mean to say you haven't taken 30 seconds check me out to see if I may be your ideal client or a potential client or not even a client at all? But no, you're asking me what I do on a social media platform where I've put lots of information for you to read and digest. So there's absolutely no way I'm going to respond to that message because you haven't even taken the time or made the effort to get to know me. Again, know, like, and trust.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And so you've just completely put a wall between us because you've asked me a question which you could have answered yourself by checking out my profile. Yeah.
Exactly.
So another stab in the dough.
Exactly. And, you know, like before we go into the organic reach kind of stuff, what would you do for that person who was sending you that cold DM and asking you if you want to get new coaching clients and whatever?
Well, what I would do
if you were there before that person pressed send in that message and you could sit next to them and say, before you reach out to Paul, you're going to send him this message. What would you say?
Well, if you have to cold DM people, if that's your strategy, then find people who are your potential ideal clients. So if you're looking to work with guys between 50 and 150 who've got beards and glasses, yeah, then go through the profiles or do a search first and go for profiles for people that kind of fit your profile and then start looking for them and then check out the profile, look for some commonality and then send a message. Hi, Paul, I see you're in the south of England and you work with X, Y, or Z. I do the same kind of thing, but I've kind of morphed from that. And what I do now is I help people, you know, find more potential clients. Is this something that you might be interested in?
That is so much nicer.
Like, it's so much, it means you've checked out my profile. It means you've taken the time to look at what I do and to guess that I might want some new clients, yeah? So
you know,
it's
here's
a whole different approach.
Like, I like that because that's exactly what I would say. Because I hate when people are also like, "Hey, Paul, how you do? How's England? How's the weather?" It's like I don't have time to small chat with you all day. Just tell me what you want. Like in a sense, tell me what you want. What are you here for?
I'm just sitting here, Janine. I'm just sitting here waiting for you to send me a message. I've got nothing else to do in my life apart from you to send me a message and ask me what the weather's doing. That's all I have to do all day. Nothing else.
But then if you send that message, that person finally sends a nice one, like, this is what I do. Now you're curious. So you would say, you know, I am looking for some new clients. Tell me a little bit more about your approach. Do you want to jump on a call? Whatever. Okay, that's fine. And maybe Paul would be, you know, open to that conversation. If you were, that's a nice way to go about it. Then you have a phone call and you say, hey, how is the weather out in England? That's when you're talking about the weather for a second, just to get to know each other a little bit and whatever. But yeah, don't just cold DM. Don't do it.
Just don't do it. Don't do it. And the problem is that if you do it for a week or a month or a year, people will remember you. Because don't forget, people don't generally delete their messages. So if you cold DM'd me, on LinkedIn. So if you, or even on Facebook, I don't delete messages.
I don't delete them
there. So if you message me going, hi, Paul, I see you're a coach, blah, blah, blah. I'm going, oh, you're the idiot that cold DM'd me 6 months ago. Bing. Not going to bother.
Or how about the people that go, hey, just checking in to see if you got my message. Just seeing if you're interested in still talking and working together. I'm like, I never said I was interested in working together. Hence the reason I'm not responding to your cold DM.
I don't know what it is. I've started to get a batch of these from web designers. You know, web designers have got my email address and they're going, Paul, we are the best web design company on the entire planet, blah, 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 blah. So I ignore that message. And then about a week later, could you please respond to my previous message? No.
Oh, don't think I didn't see it. I saw it. Like, no.
Just, you know, it was spam. Go away. Leave me alone. I've got better things to do with my life. That's just not the way to find potential clients. Not at all.
You got to do just a tiny little minuscule amount of work, just a little bit to reach those ideal type of
clients. That's a wrap for today's episode of The Savvy Scribe. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed today's show, we'd love for you to subscribe and leave a review on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Until next time.
Again, thank you for listening. If you're ready to explore freelance writing as your next PRN job or even full-time, I invite you to check out our Savvy Nurse Writer community on Facebook and visit savvynursewriter.com to help you get started today.